If you have your Bibles, turn to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. We love Mark chapter 4 around here. It's the parable of the sower. And Jesus says that if you understand this parable, you understand all the principles of the kingdom. So it's a pretty important chapter. But I just want to read a couple of verses in here. Jesus is talking about, he tells the parable and then he explains it to his disciples. But he's talking about the seed, which is God's word, being sown on men's hearts. And he likens the heart to soil and planting seed. So I'm going to read Mark 4, verse 18 in the Amplified version. All my scriptures should not be in the Amplified. Verse 18, "And the ones sown among the thorns are others who hear the word. Then the cares and anxieties of the world and distractions of the age and the pleasure and delight and false glamour and deceitfulness of riches and the craving and passion and desire for other things creep in and choke and suffocate the word, and it becomes fruitless." So, in this particular type of soil, this particular person, this particular heart that he's talking about here was at one time fruitful. And then the word of God was producing. But these things came along and choked the word and stopped the word from impacting the heart of the person. And, you know, it says it was suffocated. And, you know, again, suffocation, that's just not an instant blow. It takes some time. It's a process. It's slow, can be slow. And Amplified here says it creeps in. And so you have to watch these things. But what the purpose of these things that are happening is to stop you from being fruitful. And that's certainly what the enemy wants. He doesn't want us to bear fruit. And you know, ultimately, the reason why we're here on the earth is to bear fruit. Isn't that why we're here? And if we're not, really, you know, like Paul is, you know, was talking in Philippians about whether he should stay or whether he should depart. And he says, "I'm going to stay, you know, for your benefit." You know, really, if we're not bearing fruit, I mean, I'm not saying to do anything about it, but I mean, you know, why not just for us just to go home? We're here for a purpose. God's got a purpose for us. And he's here for each one of us to bear fruit for the kingdom. Now, fruit isn't always just getting someone saved or praying for someone or doing, you know, what we think, maybe, or discipleship. Fruit is, you know, having a good marriage. Fruit is, you know, loving your kids and teaching your kids and training your kids. And, you know, so there's a lot of things that go into bearing fruit. But that's why we're here. Now, this word care, if you read it in the King James or the New King James, it says the cares of the world. This word cares, it means all the things it says here in the Amplified, but this word means to divide the mind. Does that sound familiar? What's that scripture over in James? Double-minded man is what? Unstable in all his ways. And if you're unstable in all your ways, what happens? Won't receive anything from the Lord. So being, having a divided mind or being double-minded is not a good thing. To divide the mind, and it's divided with distractions, anxieties, burdens, and worries. Now notice the things that it's talking about here that cause you to be fruitless, that suffocates the word. Notice that it doesn't say sickness and disease. Notice it doesn't say loss of job. Notice it doesn't say, you know, your boss is being mean to you at work. Has that ever happened to you, Nate? Your boss being mean to you? Isn't that interesting? I mean, of the things that we think about that are going to stop us and slow us down and stop us from being productive, so many times we think of things out here in this natural world. Those are attacks of the enemy, and they can be, and they are. But all the things that he's talking about here, these cares, are on the inside, and particularly in your soul. And so it's the things inside of you that stop the word from being effective, not the things that are on the outside. That's really good to know, because we can get help. You know, we can have a lawyer, we can have an accountant help us with financial things, maybe a financial planner, maybe someone help us with debt reduction. You can go to the doctor, you can go to the therapist, you can go to the auto mechanic, you know, all these different people that can help you with these natural things out here. But if you don't deal with the inside, I mean, all that's going to be is not going to benefit you, really. It'll be a little bit of help, but it's not going to give you the relief. So it's very important, whatever you're doing, in whatever situation you're facing, all of us are facing situations, and there are natural things to do, and we do need help. But don't forget some of the things that, you know, he's talking about here that's having the impact on you. It's things in your soul. We call it the battlefield of the mind. You have your spirit, which is the real you. Is when you die, your spirit departs and goes to either two places, heaven or hell. But then it says we have a soul, mind, will, and emotions. And then we live in a body, which is our shell. But this soul is pretty important, because it's the filter, it's the go-between between this natural realm and the spiritual realm. And if that soul is not healthy, then if it's clogged, so to speak, it's going to stop the word from penetrating the heart and doing the benefit that it needs to. So a divided mind is not a good thing. We don't want a divided mind. We want a single mind. We want our spirit, soul, and body in harmony, working together. So tonight, I don't know what's going on with you, but I just kind of sense that there's a lot of, and I pick up things. I mean, I'm not being a prophet here, but I pick up things even from hearing what people are saying, observing things, but also just kind of in prayer. And then just in the hour that we're living in, I think people have a whole lot of things they're worried about right now. I think people have a whole lot of things that are that's a burden to them right now. And if you're not careful, if you're not catching it, what's happening, before you know it, you're not going to be bearing fruit. And so we need to have our eyes opened. You know, worry, anxiety, burdens, things we're thinking about, all these different things, the election, the economy, you know, all these different things. And what happens is this worry, this burdens, anxiety, what it produces is fear. And does anybody know what fear does? Fear paralyzes you. Have you ever had, I remember one time when I was younger, I was a kid, and you know how you're not supposed to play in the street, but I was playing in the street. And I don't know what my brother and I were throwing the football around, but and I don't know how old I was, you know, young, maybe 5, 6. I remember I was picking up the football, and this car was coming right at me. And what's the thing you should do, right? Jump out of the way? I was so scared I couldn't move. You ever had that where you can't move? You know you're supposed to move. I know I'm supposed to get out of the way. I was taught to get out of the way of cars. And that's what fear does. And that's exactly where the enemy wants you to be. He wants you to be in fear. He wants you to be stopped. He wants you to be not moving. He doesn't want you to bear fruit. So he's working in the field of your mind. And we got to counteract it. And so we got to have our eyes open. We just can't sit there and let these things happen and not go on the offense. So let's look over in Philippians 4. I want you to be bearing fruit. I want you to be moving forward. I want you to be, enjoying the blessings of God. Because you can't, and I know this to be true, you can have all the finances and you can have health and you can have a whole lot of things in the natural realm and not be at peace. And of course we know when you're poor and broke and sick and everything else, we know you don't have peace. Or most people don't have peace. But it's not out here that brings peace. Peace is in here. Peace comes from God. But peace is ours. And really, that's where we need to live. Whether things look good or bad, it doesn't matter because you're living in peace. Because He's your Heavenly Father, and He's going to provide, and His Word is true, and He's faithful, and what He said He would do, He will do. And so all of this, I mean, you can't go by this. You have to go by what's in here, but if your mind is all divided, you just can't see things. So Philippians 4, verse 6, is going to help you clear the mind. It's going to help you clear out your mind. And you know, we've read this so many times. I just prayed for you tonight, just a fresh revelation. Open up your eyes to see. I mean, this is the Word, and this is one of the easiest scriptures to act upon. It's so clear, just lays it out what we need to do here. But Philippians 4, verse 6, Amplified says, do not fret. Do not fret or have any anxiety about anything. All right, well, let's just go home. But in every circumstance and in everything, by prayer and petition, definite requests, with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God. And God's peace, everybody say God's peace. That just sounds good. Go ahead and say it again. God's peace. And go ahead and say this. I have God's peace. His peace is mine. I have it now. God's peace shall be yours, that tranquil state of a soul, assured of its salvation through Christ, and so fearing nothing. Easy to say, hard to do. Fearing nothing. Not sickness, not disease, not poverty, not strife, not people around you, whatever the enemy throws. Fearing nothing from God and being content with its earthly lot of whatever sort that is. That peace which transcends all understanding shall garrison and mount guard over your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. For the rest, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is worthy of reverence and is honorable and seemly, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely and lovable, whatever is kind and winsome and gracious, if there's any virtue and excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think on and weigh and take account of these things. Fix your mind on them. And so your life today, that peace has everything to do with what you're fixing your mind on. Are you fixing your mind on circumstances? Are you fixing your mind on the lies? You know, you can just believe outright lies. And thank God we have people around us, but I mean, even the best of us, we just start kind of, our mind starts going down a track, and we start saying things to people, and they'll, hopefully they'll say something to you. You don't really believe that, do you? But you've convinced yourself of these lies. The enemy's got you convinced. But the Word tells you different. People around you tell you different. I mean, you know, believers, faith people. But yet we believe these things, and they're so strong. But we got to fix our mind on the Word. We got to fix our mind on what the Lord said. Fix our mind on what the Spirit of God has said. You know, first of all, it says to go to God in prayer. And basically, all that means is you're going to go to God and talk to Him. And you have this relationship with Him. We talked about your Heavenly Father a few Sundays back. Go to your Father. Talk to Him. Talk to Him about everything. And what you do when you, and you know, Hebrews talks about going boldly to the throne. But we need to go boldly to the throne and receive His mercy and receive His grace. And whatever's burdening you down, give it to Him and then let Him give you His peace. In His presence is fullness of joy. In His presence, whatever on God rubs off on you, you let go of what's burdening you down, and He, you know, pours out Himself on you. Make requests to God, a supplication. Let Him know what's going on. Let Him know what's concerning you. Tell Him what's happening. Talk to Him. And then what does it say? After you've done those things, give Him thanks. Begin to praise Him. Praise is the highest form of faith. I mean, you can lift your hands. I mean, this is a posture of victory. I can lift my hands because I know my God is going to come through. My God is working on my behalf. Angels are ministering to me. He supplies all of my needs. All of heaven, I mean, all of heaven backs me up. He hears my prayer. He answers my prayer. You know, He's moving on my behalf. He'll move heaven and earth to answer my request. So it's time, I mean, we just need to believe what He says. We need to, and then if you don't believe it yet, keep going back to the Word. Keep going back to the Scriptures. Keep putting it in your heart. Keep putting it in your heart. Do all the natural things, but keep putting the Word in there until your mind is clear. Put it in, speak it, talk it, and then give Him praise. What did Paul and Silas do at the midnight hour? They're in the dungeon. They're at their darkest hour. They've been beaten. They're in just a horrible place. And of anybody that would have the reason, have an excuse to have a pity party and be thinking negative thoughts and to be grumbling and complaining, it's those guys. Right? Don't you, I mean, wouldn't that just make sense? I mean, why are we here? What? Why me? You know, I'm a good guy. I'm a good person. I don't deserve this. I mean, shouldn't that be what the Scriptures say? They grumble. I mean, shouldn't they have the right to grumble and complain the situation that they're in? But what do? Out of the abundance of their heart, their mouth speaks. They start singing hymns. They start praying. They start talking to God. They start making their requests known. And it's not some kind of quiet little timid thing. I mean, all the prisoners hear them. And when you start praying like that, and you start saying, and I'm not going to fix myself on the problem. I mean, we all got the midnight hour. We all got things right now we're dealing with. But what are you going to do with what you're dealing with? You got to get your mind off and attention off those things onto God, onto His Word. And get your mind off. It's hard. Get your mind off the stripes on your back, the chains. And get your mind, your attention on God. And I'll tell you, when you do that, I mean, you can just, in the worst situation, you can begin to praise Him. Those guys had peace in the dungeon. And I'll tell you, when you have peace, the earthquake is coming. When you have peace, the power of God is coming. When you have peace, I mean, the angels are coming. I mean, your answer's on the way when you're operating in peace. I'm spitting a whole lot here. The enemy is lying to you. And he's trying to hit you where you're weakest. And hit you, and it's tough. And when you are weak and he's hitting you, and you're just kind of letting it happen, you're not putting up any defense, not any offense. And what he's trying to do, paralyze you, get you to be quiet, not to say anything. I mean, that's where the power is. The power, is this okay tonight? That's where the power is, when we open our mouth and we speak and we talk to, and even if we don't see anything, we believe that what we say happens. It's got to happen. It's got to change. Enemy is a liar. You're not helpless. We are not paralyzed. And if you're so weak, we'll get together with your prayer partner. And if you're so beat down, let someone else pray for you. But you're not going to stay there. You're not going to stay paralyzed. You're not going to stay beat down. You're not going to stay defeated. This is not the year for that. This is the year for moving forward. This is the year for bearing fruit. This is the year for increase. This is the year for the dreams and desires of our heart coming to pass. We're moving forward. But it starts in here. Every one of us, it starts in here. We've got to do something about what's happening in here. All right, let's go over to 1 Peter 5. Are you ready for something? You got something? Okay. 1 Peter 5. So I've already given you some things you can do. You can pray. You can talk to God. You can make your requests known. You can worship God. Those aren't every day. Those aren't some bad things. Of course, we know to be in the Word. Confess the Word. 1 Peter 5, verse 7, Amplified. Casting the whole of your care. Get rid of it. Casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all on Him. For He cares for you affectionately and cares for you watchfully. Be well-balanced, temperate, sober of mind. Be vigilant and cautious at all times. For the enemy of yours, the devil, roams around like a roaring in a fierce hunger, like a lion roaring in fierce hunger, seeking someone to seize upon and devour. Withstand him. Be firm in faith against his onset. He's bringing things out here and in here. To weaken you, to take you down, to paralyze you. Withstand him. Open up your mouth. Speak the word. Rebuke him. Speak to him in the name of Jesus. Tell him to go. Tell him to take his hands off your family. Tell him to take his hands off your marriage. Tell him to take his hands off your finances. Devil, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. You get out of my house. You get out of my business. I'm not tolerating strife where I live. You talk to him and you deal with him. So many times we're fighting these outward battles and we're dealing with people, but what's behind that person? Withstand him. Be firm in faith against his onset. Rooted, established, strong, immovable, and determined. That's you. Man, that's a good confession. I'm rooted. I'm established. I'm strong. Come on, somebody. I'm strong. I'm strong in the Lord. Woo! I'm strong. Immovable. That's who you are. And determined. Knowing that the same identical sufferings are appointed to your brotherhood, the whole body of Christians throughout the world. We have an enemy, but he was defeated 2,000 years ago by Jesus. And not just defeated, I mean he was whooped. Then Jesus gave us the authority. We have that authority over the devil. But the devil is lying to us to make us think that he is stronger than God, he is stronger than God's word, he's stronger than faith, that's just a lie. Take over, Susie.
Thank you. A couple was sharing with me something not long ago. They were talking about they had a situation that was going on in their family, financial difficulties. They were under a lot of pressure financially. And both of them were in job situations where, so they had financial situations, then their job being stable. So there were problems going on with that. And then, you know, just a lot of turmoil in between them. And so the husband is really down. And you know, he's sharing, he's just really down. My mama would say he had the mully grubs. And so he's just really down, got the mully grubs, and he's and she's trying to help him and encourage him like wives do sometimes to the mully grubbing husbands. And anyway, so I'll come over here and talk to y'all. And so in the midst of all this that was going on, the wife says to him, well, I can't fix all this. Let's just trust in God. And he's like, yeah, yeah. You familiar with that? Yeah, yeah, we'll just trust in God. You know, it wasn't real faith. It was just, leave me alone. And she said, well, you need to pray. And he said, I did pray. And she said, no, I mean you need to pray. And he's like, no, I already prayed. Forget it. Well, he was about to get in his car to go to work. And he works about 45 minutes from where they live. So they kind of had it out, as sometimes couples do. And y'all know about that, don't you? And so they kind of had it out. He gets in the car and he goes to work. Well, he gets to work. About 50 minutes later, she gets a phone call and it's him. And he's sitting in his car. And his voice is all broke up. And he said, I'm just calling to tell you, you were right, you were right, you were right. He said, I didn't want to pray. Last thing I wanted to do. I'm just mad. I'm mad at everybody, mad at you, mad at myself, mad at God, just mad at everybody. He said, but, you know, before I even got down the road a little bit, I started thinking, yeah, she's right, she's right. And he said, I just started praying, just prayed in the spirit because I didn't really know how to pray. And he said, as I went along, my praying got a little stronger and I got a little more encouraged. And I thought, maybe this is going to help. And he prayed a little more and he thought, well, but this doesn't seem to be helping. And then he went along and it just kept, and the more he prayed and the further he drove, the more it seemed to help, till by the time he got to work, he said, I just have such peace now. This is going to be fine. God's taking care of us. God loves us. This is just the enemy coming against us. And he said, God is for us. Who can be against us? And it turned everything around. And he called to apologize. Okay. Well, anyway. And so write that down. That's a good note for you. And yeah, well, I'm just saying. Anyway. The point of that was that go back to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6 when it says this. He read in the Amplified. We'll just read along in the Amplified. He says, Jesus, do not fret. Actually, it's not Jesus, it's Paul. Do not fret or have any anxiety about anything, but in every circumstance and in everything, by prayer and petition, definite request, with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God. Now, let me ask you a question. How do you know that you've done the praying that you needed to do? Because it says, don't fret, pray, give thanks, continue to make your wants known to God. How do you know when you're done? What? Peace comes. That's right, because that's what the verse, next verse says. You do this, and God's peace shall be yours. So you don't just pray and say, well, I did that. You pray until the peace comes. You know, that might be a revelation to some of you, because some of you, I mean, and I'm not throwing off on you, most people don't know very much about praying at all. You know, where did we learn to pray? Well, most of us learned to pray by listening to other people pray. And most of the people we were listening to pray didn't know how to pray either. They prayed like my uncle. I got an uncle. I would tell you his name. he's never going to hear this. His name's Uncle Billy. And he's a good Baptist. But when he prays in King James English. It's just kind of weird because he never, ever talks like that any other time. So I don't know what he's doing. You know, it's like, ooh, that's kind of strange. And I'm just thinking, I couldn't keep up King James English for very long myself. And so if that's the only way you know to pray and you just, you know, thou shalt and be thou and all that, it's going to be hard maybe because praying, I have found, until the peace comes, takes a little bit longer than a couple of, you know, a couple of lines. Does anybody know what I mean? Am I the only one here who understands this? It can take some time. And I think one reason that God's people have so much anxiety is we don't pray as we ought. We don't take advantage of this incredible privilege of prayer. It's such a privilege that we can approach the Father and we're right with Him and we can come and make a request. And He hears us. And when He hears us, we know that we have the petitions that we've asked of Him. 1 John 5:14 and 15 tells us that. And so we come and we request and we pray until the peace comes. And I want to point something out to you here. What we're looking for is peace, not relief. And there's a difference between peace and relief. And I think many of us have missed God's plan for our lives. And we've ended up in greater places of anxiety because we were just looking to get the pressure off, not looking for peace. And there is a difference. We look for relief. And Jesus told us, in this world, you're going to have trouble. You're going to have tribulation. That word tribulation is the picture of grapes being pressed to get the juice out for the wine. That's stress. That's what life on planet Earth is. Stressful. And He said, you can count on that. But I have peace. I'm leaving you, He said, my peace. Not the kind of peace the world has. The kind of peace the world has is cut your losses and run. That's relief. It's not real peace. Peace is the storm is raging, but you're calm. You know, as I often think about the fact that Jesus was asleep in the boat, and He got up and calmed the storm, not because He was anxious, but because they were anxious. He was at peace. They're the ones who were looking for relief, not Him. And you can walk through, and I know that I've done this, and probably many of you here can bear, you know, witness with this, that you've walked through fiery trials, and you've been at peace as you've walked through it, but it lasted more than a day. It lasted more than a week. It lasted a long season. But she walked through it with peace. But see, here's what happens. The enemy knows if he brings pressure against most people, they will bail. They will cut and they will run. And so if you're on track with God's plan, there's going to be adversity. There's going to be trouble. There are going to be attacks. The enemy's going to come. And so then the enemy knows he just comes in with more pressure. And then you'll stop that. I've heard people say that. I don't even know why I would want to serve God. My life was good. Somebody said this to me within the last week. They said, you know, when I was living in sin, it seemed like everything was fine. And since I've been going to God, it's like all these problems have come up. And the person said, what is that about? And I'm like, okay, I can tell you what that is. It's Mark 4. The enemy's coming to steal the word. He doesn't want you being fruitful. He doesn't want you fulfilling God's plan and purpose for your life. He doesn't want you living the high life that we talked about several weeks ago. He doesn't want that. So he rushes in. The Bible warns us about it. But if you abandon where you are, you take the shortcut, all you're doing is getting relief, but you're not fixing the problem. I mean, we even know that in the natural. We know that in the natural that you could pull out the plastic card and that might give you relief at that moment, but you're just postponing because you're going to have to pay. But the terrible thing about that is when you pay it, when it comes up for payment, it's going to have something added to it. So what you're looking for is peace, not just relief. All of us, that's what we're looking for, is peace. And peace is spiritual. It's a spiritual substance. It's not a feeling. It's a spiritual substance that comes from within. And the Bible tells us how it comes as we pray with thanksgiving. So it comes out of our fellowship and communion with our Father. As we pray and we fellowship with Him, He fills us with peace. It's His presence in our lives. It's His assurance that He loves us. He just read from 1 Peter 5:7 that we can cast our cares on the Lord because we know that He cares for us. See, that's the key to it. It's not just the act of casting. It's we're looking and communing and casting your care on the Lord is done through prayer. You're pushing it over. You're throwing it over onto Him as you pray. You're saying to Him, you're saying, I'm relinquishing this to You. I'm taking this off my plate because I got a little tiny saucer and I can't handle much, but I'm taking this and I'm putting it over on You, and I know all will be well because You care for me, because You love me. We sang about that. You were enthusiastically singing about how much He loves you. That was you. Well, the one you were singing to about how much He loves you, He's the one that you can trust. You're saying, I'm not going to cut and run. I'm not going to bail on your plans. I'm not going to abandon what the Word says. I'm just going to trust in You. And while you're doing that and communicating that, He's reassuring you. And He's filling you with Himself. And that brings peace. And see, you do that, it'll fix. Matt was talking about the stuff that's within us that's causing the problems. It'll fix this. This, because that's what needs fixing. And we'll learn to walk in peace instead of living in anxiety and going through these cycles of anxiety, relief. Relief for a few days until it gathers up and comes again. Anxiety, great fear, great distress. Relief. But it's not peace. Peace is like this, and there may be winds blowing, and it may be calm. And it may be a bigger wind blowing, and it may be the big bad wolf huffing and puffing. But you can be at peace because it's in here. One thing that's been interesting in 20 years of pastoring is just watching people and how they go through circumstances. And I have seen people walk through terrible situations, and I'm sitting there going, you should be more upset about this. And they have this sustaining peace within that just puzzles me. I know what the Bible's talking about, the peace that surpasses all understanding. And then there will be other people, and there's a whole lot more like this, other people that they have a situation that I'm just seriously not impressed with how bad it is. Just, it's not, to me, it's just not that distressing, but it just rips them to pieces. They can't hardly function. What's the difference? Peace. Hallelujah, peace. Well, we should pray. Hallelujah. Father, hallelujah. You just talked to Him. You sang about His love for you. Hallelujah. Father, we just come before You right now. Hallelujah. We know there's help for us tonight. We don't come to ask for something that we have to wonder if you're going to give it to us or not. We know You've already, Jesus gave us peace before He ever ascended on high. It's ours. Hallelujah. Jesus gave it to us. And Father, we just come and take hold of that which already has our name on it. It's already been proportioned out for us. There's a pile of peace with my name on it, with Tony's name on it, with Jana's name on it, with Terry's name on it, with Jose's name on it. There's all the peace that we need. And in Jesus' name, we come, Father, and we partake of that peace. And we just remind ourselves how much You love us, You have great affection for us here tonight, not because we deserve it, but you love us because you love us, because that's who you are. And you see something of great worth and value in us. And because you love us, we can trust you tonight. And Father, all of us have circumstances. All of us are facing situations that we're not quite sure what to do with, things that seem overwhelming to some, situations in some cases that seem like, how will I ever move through that? How will I ever find a way out? But Father, you are the God who makes a way out. You're the God who enables us to overcome. Hallelujah. And we come to you tonight, Father. And we're not looking for relief, but we're looking for peace. And we just take the care of this thing. Some of us, it's relational issues. Some, it's just prolonged depression. For some, it's financial. It's things in people's bodies. It's all kinds of, whatever it is that's been huffing and puffing against you. In Jesus' name, Father, we just cast that over on you right now. Hallelujah. Just talk to him. I can't cast your care on him. You have to cast your care. Hallelujah. James said, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. So I can pray for you, but you're the one who needs to pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just take a moment and pray in the Spirit. If you pray in tongues, that's fine. Just hallelujah. You're just releasing that, the flow of God in your life. That you're just releasing his power and the supernatural to flow up on you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.